Our first case for argument today is 21-1904 Davis v. McDonough. How do I say your name, counsel?
Dohakis, Your Honor.
Mr. Dohakis, please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. Kenny Dohakis for appellant. Mr. Brian Davis. This appeal asks the court to answer a single question. Must the Veterans Court wait for the board to interpret a regulation before that regulation is ripe for interpretation at the court? The answer must be no, especially when, as here, the VA has affirmatively chosen not to interpret the regulation at all stages of the claim and appeal. The best place to start is with the court's decision. The Veterans Court held, and I'm looking at Appendix 7, that remand is required for the board to adequately describe its standards for comparing and assessing the terms of the regulation in the first instance. But this is not a correct statement of the law. The only legal authority relied upon is its own case law that makes this same legal error. But as we know, this court is not bound by decisions from the Veterans Court.
Sorry to interrupt, but you argued, do you not, that the Veterans Court had to, i.e. was required to interpret the regulation in the first instance?
Yes, Your Honor.
What's your support for that?
Primarily, Your Honor, we rely on 7261, its jurisdictional scope of review statute, which says that when presented, they shall interpret regulations within an appeal. Now, we recognize...
Well, it says a little more than that. It says, as to the extent necessary,
yes,
to its decision, and if it's sending a remand, that sort of takes it out of that, right?
It can, Your Honor. However, particularly in this case, and I want to emphasize that this case is a bit unique because we have a situation, as we emphasize repeatedly in our briefing, where the Secretary has not offered any interpretation for the regulation. And looking at Kaiser v. McDonough, this court, through a couple of different opinions, indicates that when there's no interpretation entitled to deference, when there's no deference afforded, whether because the Secretary did not offer an interpretation or that interpretation is not reasonable, the pro-veteran canon applies. Secondly, again, as we emphasize repeatedly in our brief, from the beginning of this claim, Mr. Davis has never been told how to achieve a specific rating, whether it be a 30% or a 60% rating, based on the words that the Secretary put in his regulation. Not when they created the regulation.
Well, except the remand is going to give him another medical exam, right?
Yes, sir. And,
I mean, how does a arguable advisory opinion here, when we don't even know what the facts that we're dealing with are, why is that necessary? I mean, I don't think anybody's arguing that the CAVC couldn't have done it if it saw a need to do it. But how is that necessary or required here when we don't even have the underlying facts upon which this whatever interpretation is relevant would be applied?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. The facts of the case, we argue, are not relevant to this specific legal question. The legal question is twofold. One, is Mr. Davis entitled to an interpretation of the regulation at this stage, with this record before the Veterans Court, where there's no deference afforded to the Secretary?
And again, just starting where we, picking up where we started, and you're saying that they violated 7261 by not doing that?
So yes,
is that
Your Honor.
Your entire...
Not the entire argument, Your Honor. The second part of that is fair process and due process, primarily fair process. Mr. Davis is entitled, through this court's case law and also the Veterans Court's case law, to have participation within his claim, meaningful participation, which he cannot do if he never knows the standard. And by interpreting the regulation before it goes back to the board, Mr. Davis now knows what the standard is for achieving, so that when the examination occurs, he's able to talk to the examiner, he's able to present evidence after the exam, and present argument to the board before his claim is adjudicated.
I mean, if your argument prevails, doesn't that mean that every time the veteran, decides he or she wants an official interpretation from the Veterans Court, that they can get that before they have to go through a board adjudication?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. I think that that is
the logic of your argument, right?
That is a logical next step, yes.
Well, that's not the way the system is set up, though.
But
the system is set up, you go to the RO, you go to the board, you go to the Veterans Court, and here the Veterans Court said, board, you didn't do a good enough job. Give them another medical examination and look at it again. It's essentially a reasons and basis remand.
Not entirely, Your Honor. Again, I think that that is a logical next step argument, which I'm sure many advocates would be happy to present should this court find in our favor. But we want to emphasize that under the facts of this case, they are unique in that, number one, the Secretary has not offered an interpretation that is subject to deference.
Maybe the Secretary thinks the rating schedule is plain and that they don't need to offer an interpretation.
But they didn't say that, Your Honor. All they said was is that the board...
They're going to leave it to the board. The board is the instrument of the Secretary.
Your Honor, I would disagree with that respectfully. The board does not speak for the Secretary. Its own regulations say that its decisions are binding only on the particular veteran.
Well, I didn't mean it in that way. The board doesn't issue decisions that necessarily get our deference. The board, however, if it's a decision granting an award in favor of your client, is the final word.
It can be, Your Honor,
Let me ask you this. I mean, we're talking about your legal argument. Why is this case even within our jurisdiction? This is a remand order, and you haven't shown that you're going to necessarily be prejudiced on remand. In fact, you may very well win on remand because you get a new medical exam showing your client's entitled to the higher rating.
We are prejudiced, Your Honor. Well, first to start, we do believe it is a legal decision.
Right? That doesn't mean it's, you know, we don't have automatic interlocutory appeal over Veterans Court's decisions. You have to meet our Williams criteria.
Yes, Your Honor.
And they're very hard for veterans to meet because the remands usually will, unless there's some legal rule that was established that will definitely injure them below, you don't get an appeal remands. And here, all the court did was send it back and say, get a new medical exam and take a look at this again.
Your Honor, we do think that there was more to it than just that. That is a big part of the remand, and the evidence development is a distinct and separate part of the remand order. The legal issue that the court decided, again, is that a remand is required for the board to interpret the regulation. And the board's interpretation of the regulation has no bearing whatsoever on what the meaning of the regulation is. The courts review Secretary's proffered interpretation, but only, as Kaiser v. Wilkie emphasized, that when it emanates from those actors using those vehicles understood to make authority.
I don't know what you mean when you say the board doesn't have any role in interpreting regulations. That's exactly what they do. They look at the record, they apply the regulations to the facts of the case, and they make an outcome. And if you don't like the board's interpretation, you can appeal it back up to the Veterans Court.
True, Your Honor. But again, before the decision is given, Mr. Davis is entitled to meaningful participation, which he cannot achieve under this court's remand order, under the Veterans Court's remand order, because he cannot know, based on the regulation that applies to him, how to achieve a specific rating. The two standards, considerable and severe, as we talked about in our briefing below and highlighted in our briefing here, are essentially the same thing. There's no daylight between those two words when you look at their plain dictionary definition. These are also not words of art or something that's within the expertise like a unemployability or marginal employment, as we see in some of these other terms.
Is the rating schedule in the appendix?
It is not, Your Honor, but it is quoted in our briefing, the opening brief to the Veterans Court, and Appendix 24. And you can see the 30% rating is assigned, where there is certain symptoms, which the board favorably found he had, all of those, productive of considerable impairment of health, and the 60% is assigned for symptoms that productive of severe impairment of health.
Counsel, am I correct that for us to order the Veterans Court to proper a construction, or for us to proper a construction, whatever, you have to overcome not only Williams and whether or not this is a case over which we have jurisdiction, but also didn't the Veterans Court expressly find that you waived this argument by not raising it until your reply brief, and they therefore weren't going to do it? So I have to find against both of those. I have to find that you've met all the Williams standards and that the court below was somehow wrong in concluding that you waived the argument.
Not exactly, Your Honor. There are two primary bases for why Mr. Davis is harmed by this. And number one is the fair process issue. But the second is simply that he's entitled under, you know, extending some of the case law that from this court.
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. That argument is it makes no sense. If for you to say that somehow the jurisdictional statute entitles him to a legal or statutory interpretation, even if he didn't raise it and the board found it waived. You're trying to tell me that the jurisdictional statute that permits them to reach issues, requires them to, even if they determine the party waived them. Is that your argument?
No, Your Honor. That's not my argument. I apologize. I misunderstood your question. I thought you were asking about the fair process that the Veterans Court had found Mr. Davis had waived a fair process argument. Our argument from the beginning, and particularly in the reply brief, when the secretary in his brief asked for a remand, we emphasized in our reply brief, in response to his argument, that we are entitled to an interpretation prior to it the remand going back. We agree that this case has to go back to the board for additional fact-finding because the evidence is insufficient to determine whether he meets any criteria for the regulation. The real issue for Mr. Davis is we don't know what the standards are. And we cannot know until he's
but
been
that's
denied.
That's your fair process argument, correct?
In part, Your Honor, yes.
And that's the argument that they found you waived.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
But
you want to use the rest of your time for rebuttal?
I will reserve the rest of my time. Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Ms. Kramer?
May it please the court. The remand order here is a non-final determination and thus unreviewable by this court.
Well, kind of the problem here, and I hadn't realized it, frankly, until I took a deeper dive into this case, is that in addition to Williams, we've got other cases, and some point in some directions and some point in others, and your argument would be that the ones that point in his direction are distinguishable from this. So how do you distinguish Stevens?
Sure. Stevens was the argument was that there would be inappropriate evidentiary development, which here isn't the argument.
Well, isn't he saying that he's going to be going around in circles trying to develop an evidentiary record where he really doesn't know the details of the standard that he needs to apply to that evidentiary record?
As the Chief Judge Moore mentioned, that argument was waived below and the Veterans Court didn't reach it. That particular fair process argument was waived.
Was it styled as a due process argument in Adams and Stevens? I don't recall. I don't know the answer to this question. I'm not baiting you.
No, it was, I think, styled just as an exception to the Williams factors in that it was a final decision and that would be unreviewable after a remand.
I mean, am I right in remembering the facts in Stevens? Shouldn't your response be that in Stevens, the entire case was capable of resolution without remand and therefore without additional factual development, whereas here, this case has to go back no matter what for factual development?
Absolutely, Your Honor. None of the Williams factors are met here. There is no clear final legal decision that is adverse to the claimant, and there is no substantial risk that the legal issue will be unreviewable after remand. Even if this court were to find that the Williams factors were not met, the Veterans Court remand, you should affirm the Veterans Court remand. It was a lawful, garden variety, reasons and basis remand.
What
for
if the board, if the CAVC here had made a specific legal conclusion with respect to the standard to be applied, right, and then remanded it? Would that change your position in terms of whether or not that's reviewable by us at this stage?
No, Your Honor, and I would point to Dinellen, which speaks of the classic case of a non-final order, which is where the argument is not that the claimant has a legal right not to undergo a remand, but rather that the remand proceeding should be conducted under a different legal standard than that ordered by the Veterans Court. And I think that's analogous to the situation here, because he's essentially arguing that the Veterans Court should have accepted his standard or proffered a different one than it did, which was to decline to offer a standard. And so I think it's analogous to Dinellen. If the court has no further questions, I will rest there.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Kramer. Okay, counsel, you have some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to emphasize that even without the fair process harm, there is still the fact that we assert that Mr. Davis is entitled to an interpretation without deference now, and he should not have to wait for the board to offer an interpretation that really is not binding on anyone. This was admitted in oral argument in Kaiser v. Wilkie to the Supreme Court that the board does not speak for the secretary.
But if we allow you to do this kind of interlocutory appeal, it's going to happen in every single case where there's a remand. They're going to come up here and they're going to say, you should interpret the statute in the first instance so there's guidance. I mean, this is why we don't allow appeals from non-final orders in all cases, not just your cases. Disappointed litigants always want a ruling from us on how the proceeding should be. But we don't do that when it's a non-final order. How do you distinguish this case from any of those garden variety non-final order cases?
This case is distinguished, Your Honor, because, again, the Secretary made a deliberate decision not to interpret the regulation at any stage. I would submit that had the Secretary...
Do you think that's unique? I don't think that's unique here. The boards get appeal, you know, they get notices of disagreements filed, and they look at decisions of the RO under all kinds of rating schedules that the Secretary hasn't officially promulgated an authoritative interpretation of.
It's not unique at the board level, Your Honor, but it is unique within, we believe, in the eyes of the law, and at the court level. At the court, the Secretary is free to offer an interpretation. And at that point, we now have something to go off of. We at least know that this is a starting point for what the Secretary thinks the regulation means. And if we can meet that standard on remand, then we can achieve the rating and the benefits to which we think we're entitled. If we don't meet that standard and we think that standard's wrong, then we're free to pursue it at court to try to get that standard changed. But at least we know from the beginning.
You're not precluded from making any of these arguments if you're not satisfied with what happens on the remand, are you?
Well, we can make them, Your Honor, but it doesn't mean that it's going to have any effect because, again, we don't know how the VA reads the regulation. And how the VA reads the regulation is going to control. And if we don't know how
to... You're going to get a decision from the board on how it reads the regulation. And if you win, you win. And if you don't and you disagree with it, you can appeal. And then the secretary's got to say the board's interpretation was correct or not.
That's true, Your Honor. But by that stage, if the court agrees with the secretary's interpretation, Mr. Davis is done. He's out of luck. He never got a chance to develop his case, develop his facts, develop his evidence in a way that matches what at least the secretary has told him.
He's done. He can appeal that, right?
He can, Your Honor. But again,
and if it's a question of law, even we have review over that.
But again, Your Honor, if he's unsuccessful at the court, he can never get that chance back
to try to develop
the evidence.
You can argue that the new interpretation was, you were given insufficient opportunity to develop the evidence to show that interpretation. And you know, if the Veterans Court rejects that and you come up here and say that, you might get a remand back again. you're not barred from any of this. I mean, you just filed a really early interlocutory appeal to get us to decide an issue that's not even right, because we don't even have the facts before us of what condition your client has and how we would interpret it under this code.
I understand, Your Honor. With that, we again ask this court to find in his favor and order the Veterans Court to provide him his due and fair process. Thank you.
I thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.